Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
One translation says that Job was a perfect man. He was an upright man. There that word is. He was a man that eschewed and avoided evil. Can I encourage you that the reason that God knew that Job could outlast the enemy's attack because he was a man that stood upright? We've got a lot of believers in the world today with their head in the sand. And even though they've got 2 feet on the ground, their head is buried. They're so spiritual, they're of no earthly value. Or maybe they're so much earthly value, they have no spiritual significance. But I want to encourage believers in the room and online tonight, once you have covered yourself in the things of God, once you have put on the whole armor of God, it's time that you stand firm in your faith. Stand firm means standing upright. It means facing your enemy head on. We're not running, we are advancing in Jesus' name. We are not cowering, we are taking back possession of things that have been stolen. We are gaining ground. I know other churches are losing ground and shutting their doors. Living Way is not that church, and you and I are not those people. We are not scared of what's out there because of what we have in here. And because of what we have in here and the armor that covers us and the anointing that is on the armor, we cannot fail. Stand firm, stand upright. Firm is your stance. See, here at Living Way, you start praying for people, they start falling out. At Living Way, people still fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had a lot of friends. I've had people that I've done business with that I've invited them to church, and I say, what do you think about it? And in their carnal mind, they didn't mention how good the worship was. They didn't mention how great the preaching was. They didn't talk about how good the people were. What they wanted to know was, is why were people falling out? And I tell them, oh, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God becomes such a heavy thing and such a significant moment in their life that when the Spirit of God gets on us, that we can no longer uphold ourselves and we fall out under the Spirit. And so I had one friend tell me, well, when I go down to the altar, I'm never falling out because some of you preachers push us down. And I said, yeah, some preachers do push you down. I'll never push you down. If you fall, I want that to be God. I don't want to push you down. And so he said, yeah, when I go up to pray, he said, I get in a stance like this. He's like, you ain't knocking me down. I said, oh, if you get in that stance, I said, if the Holy Ghost wants to knock you down, it don't matter if your feet are in concrete, you're going down. But when I tell you to stand firm in faith, when Paul encouraged us to stand firm, he says, stand upright, but firm means get in a stance. Can I encourage somebody, a believer tonight, that you've been wavering, it feels like you're about to be knocked down, it feels like you're about to backslide, it feels like you're about to go back to who you used to be. Stand firm in your faith that God has you covered. Be upright. Get in a stance and say, devil, give me your best shot. I'm not backing up. I'm not going down. I'm moving forward. Somebody say, stand firm. Somebody say, that's the only way to stand. There's so many of us that don't know what it means to stand firm at the most opportune. Listen, standing firm at Living Way is one thing, but this is where it's easy to stand. But standing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what happens. And then he says this, stand there, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Here's just something, and this seems so insignificant, but as I was going back through these notes this afternoon, God dropped this in my spirit. You know how hard it is to put on a belt if you're sitting down? And some of us, we don't stand for truth, belt of truth. And we wonder why we fall for the enemy's lies. We wonder why we lose in the battle we are fighting. It is because it is hard to fight from a sitting position. It is hard to gain ground from a sitting position. And so he says the first thing you've got to do is you've got to stand up. And then once you stand up, you can put the belt of truth around your waist. The belt, as it pertains to the Roman centurion or the Roman soldier's armor, the belt does two things. It holds weapons, which means if you're beltless, you are weaponless. And I don't know about you, but it's going to be hard to win the war that God has called you to win without all the weapons that God has given us and all the weapons that are in our arsenal. So number one, it holds weapons. Number two, it protects the productive organs. So when we refuse to forget to wear the belt of truth, there are certain weapons that we do not have access to. And if it protects our reproductive organs, then there is future production and future success that is not protected. That is why when you get up in the morning, I know we love to talk about the helmet of salvation and we'll get there, but make sure that your loins are girded, the King James says, with the belt of truth so that you have easy access to every weapon you're going to need on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, but also so that everything that God has promised you in your future is protected by the belt of truth. John 14:6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the life, or the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The article is so important in this verse. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. He said, I am the. I am the one and only. If you're seeking truth and you need truth to cover yourself with, there is no truth in Muhammad. There is no truth in Hare Krishna. There is no truth in scientists. There is no truth in self-help and willpower. The only truth that I believe in is the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. It's not something we have. It is something that exists. It is a person, and his name is Jesus. John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Knowing the truth is not memorizing scripture. Knowing the truth is having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, talking to him every day, him talking back every day, knowing the voice of God so that when he speaks in your life, you know that's not just pizza that you ate at 2 a.m. in the morning, but God rolls you out of bed early in the morning because truth is now speaking in your life. When you know, when you have a relationship with the truth, that's Jesus. That's the word. The truth will set you and will make you free. I know that many times when I am debating with Pastor Mandy, that's what we call it, debating, I always feel that I am right. Anybody ever debate with someone and you feel like you're always right? That's how I am. I always feel like I am spitting straight facts, 100% truth. And I tell her when we have disagreements about something, I said, Mandy, that's the truth, and the truth will set you free. To which she always replies, that is your truth. That is not the truth. And listen, I used to not like that, but as a preacher, I took that out of a debate that we were having, and now I can preach about it. Your truth is meaningless. My truth is meaningless. It holds no value unless we prescribe to the truth that is Jesus Christ. I have heard people, especially Generation Z, now says that this is my truth. But unless it is Jesus or founded on the Word of God, our truth is valueless and worthless. Most people don't want to wear the belt because they don't want to live the truth. They don't want to wear the belt because they don't want truth involved in their money, involved in their relationships, involved in their sexuality, involved in their tomorrow, involved in their planning, involved in their serving, involved in their career, involved, I could go on. They don't wear the belt. The problem is without the belt, there is no future. I want the truth involved in my now. I want Jesus involved in my now because if Jesus is in the middle of my now, my next is guaranteed to be the best season of my life or of our life. Most people don't wear that belt because they don't want to live that truth. But no Jesus means that there's no word. No word means no truth. No truth because we don't wear the belt. No belt means no weapons. No weapons means no protection, which means no covering, which means no future. So when you hear somebody say, gird yourself, your loins, with the truth, I want you to wrap yourself in the truth that is Jesus Christ. Every truth, you're not going to be able to amen from the start. Some truth makes you convicted. Some truth hurts your feelings. But I would rather God hurt my feelings on a Wednesday night so I can win the battle on a Thursday afternoon than walk out of this building feeling fat and sassy but uncovered and unprepared for war. Then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness covers you from the bottom of your neck to your waist. The main job of the breastplate is to protect your main organs. 4 out of 5 main organs of your body are in your torso. Your liver, your kidneys, your lungs, your heart. Your liver filters blood and it helps with digestion and produces protein. When you wear the breastplate of righteousness, listen to this, church, you will only digest what is beneficial for you and what God has given you to be beneficial for your now and for your next. There are some things that we are continuously eating and we are continuously putting in our lives, but the breastplate of righteousness says, nope, you can't have that a part of your life and still be able to walk in the promises of God. You're not going to be able to do that on Thursday and live of the promise on Friday. And so like the liver in our bodies, it protects the functioning and the filtering and digesting of protein in our spiritual lives. The next thing it does is it protects the kidney. The kidneys filter blood and filters out impurity. Righteousness does not let pure impurities that are going to literally dilute and pollute what God is doing in your life from staying there. Could it be that righteousness won't let a bad friend remain in your life? Could it be that righteousness won't let a bad habit remain in our lives? I am so glad for the righteousness of God that allows me that when I pray and when you pray, when we come to an altar and worship, whenever we approach God, I'm so grateful that righteousness allows me to be in right standing with God so that I'm not in fear, I'm in faith that in this moment, God, take everything out of me that is impure and leave me with just the best. It protects our lungs. Our lungs take in oxygen. Let everything that have breath give praise to the Lord. The breastplate of righteousness protects your praise. We used to sing a song here, I never lost my praise. I never lost my hope. Can I encourage you, as the righteousness wearing of God, covered in his righteousness, understand that your praise is a weapon that you cannot afford to be injured or taken away. Your gratitude to God sets you up always for what God is doing now and what God is doing next. And finally, it protects the heart. The heart pumpulates and circulates the blood. Now, when we talk about the blood, let's not talk about your blood and my blood. Let's talk about the blood of Jesus. I know we're still a few weeks away from Easter, and I know we just came out of Christmas, but on a Wednesday night in February, can we just have a 10-second praise break for the blood of Jesus Christ? Can we stand to our feet for the next 10 seconds and say, God, thank you for the blood. Thank you that it's fresh. Thank you that it's flowing. Thank you that it's faithful. Thank you that it's my foundation. All because of the blood of Jesus. You may be seated. Why do we say Jesus? We want Jesus to come into my heart. I've never heard it like this, but I want Jesus to be in control of my heart because now my heart is pumping his blood. My heart pumps his blood into areas of my life that need his blood to circulate and might need a fresh dose, might need a fresh move. And so when you wear the breastplate of righteousness, it protects the muscle in your life that circulates and reminds you the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. Praise God. I'm like Bishop, my favorite scripture changes by what I'm reading in the Bible. Anybody else like that? My favorite verse right now is 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, this is Jesus, this is the Father talking about the Son. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Too many times we look at the gifts of God as something we have and not something we are. This verse says we don't have righteousness. We are righteousness. How can you be righteous if you don't put on the breastplate of righteousness every day of your life? I am the righteousness of God. You say, is that a declaration? I should say every day of your life. When you're walking through valleys, you should be declaring, I am the righteousness of God. I will outlive this valley. When the greatest storms of your life blow in, I am the righteousness of God. And though the wind blow, and though the thunder, the lightning strike and the thunder roll, I am the righteousness of God. Sitting in a doctor's office, get a bad report, that's all right. I am the righteousness of God. Sitting in a courtroom, you're the righteousness of God. Walking down Main Street, you're the righteousness of God. Sitting at Living Way, you're the righteousness of God. Righteousness is not something you can take off because righteousness is either who you are or who you are not. And because I know Jesus, because you know Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. Let's talk about, I've never heard it said like this, let's talk about the boots of peace. Ephesians 6:15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness. One translation says, with your feet covered with the shoes that come from the gospel of peace. The King James Version uses a word I like. It says, your feet are shod, S-H-O-D, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When I hear that word shod, my country mind goes to shoeing horses and a horse that is shod. A horse that is shod, it is shod for three reasons. A horse is shod so that their hooves have durability because a horse's hooves, believe it or not, are made of the same protein that makes up your fingernails. So in places that are extremely rocky, their hooves wear down to a place that if you overuse them, they cannot work, they cannot walk. And so a shod horse, a shoeing a horse or shod, it gives them durability. It protects the hoof from outside influences, keeps the hoof from cracking, but it also gives the hoof grip so that on slick rocks and surfaces, it does not fall down. Can I encourage you that when the peace of God gets in your feet and on your feet, it does the same three things. It gives believers durability. What used to take you out will no longer take you out. What used to make you anxious will no longer make you anxious. Why? Because my feet are covered with peace. Why would he put peace on our feet and not peace in our heart, not peace on our mind? He said, I'm putting peace on your feet so that wherever you go, peace is there. Wherever you stand, peace is there. Wherever you tread, peace is there. When you go in the valleys, guess what? Peace is there. On the mountaintop, peace is there. It's going to make you durable. Meaning this, what would have taken you out 5 years ago doesn't even faze you now because you have peace that passes all understanding. It offers you protection. What does that mean? That when the devil comes to take you out. And realize this, the devil has a plan for you every day. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. But here you are. You made it through the first 19 hours of this day. He's been shooting at you. He's been wanting to kill you. He's been wanting to destroy you. But the peace of God protected you. And then it gives you grip. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get a grip. David said it like this. He said, my feet almost slipped when I looked at the unrighteous and I looked at what was going on in their life. Can I encourage you, get peace in your life? And you'll always have a grip on your destiny. And you'll always have a grip on the Spirit. And what they're doing is not going to affect what God's doing in you. And what's happening over there is not going to affect what's happening here. And I can go in some slippery places and not fall down. Listen, this is what happens when you get a grip. When you get a grip, you can't backslide, praise God. When you get a grip, you can't fall down. And even if you do fall down, a just man falls down seven times and gets up seven times. Somebody say the boots of peace. The boots of peace. Man, this time went quick tonight. The peace that comes from the Prince of Peace does two things. When you get peace in your life, it prepares your way. Remember, it's on your feet. It prepares your way. But you share it with those that are in your way. I wrote this down, and I believe this is going to bless somebody because you're a different person than you were this time last year. One of the greatest ministries that you have as a person that has their life covered in peace is you are able to pull people into your peace, and you do not allow them to pull you into their storm. You can't pull me into your drama. I'm going to pull you into my peace. You're not going to pull me into your anxiety. I'm going to pull you into my peace. And I'm not talking about pulling them to an altar. I'm talking about cubicle three on floor two of your job when everybody's acting like the devil's done lost his mind in them. You don't go crazy. You're able to pull them into your peace. How many of you can testify that God has transformed your life with his peace? That you don't act like you used to act. That you don't fear like you used to fear. Come on, somebody. Anxiety used to cripple you, and you'd have to breathe in a brown paper bag because you were hyperventilating, and you couldn't fly, and you couldn't be separated, and you couldn't have the lights off. You couldn't be by yourself. But here you are, all because you said, God, cover me in your peace. Put it on my feet so that everywhere I go, the first three things that Paul describes, the belt, the breastplate, the boots, they're all defensive in nature. But in verse 16, Paul says, in addition to all these things, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. I want to encourage somebody tonight. The shield of faith has long been used and preached as a defensive item. But for those of you that are superhero fans, can I tell you that the shield of faith is 100 times greater than Captain America's shield? And when you watch those movies, that shield is not only for defense, but he sends that shield out to do things. He said, oh, come on, somebody. Don't act like you never watched those movies, and don't act like you don't know what faith is. A preacher can preach from any topic in the world. And some of you saw him, and when he was surrounded by people, and when he was outnumbered, he never feared because he had a shield. Now, if Captain America, who doesn't know Jesus that I know, if he can do what he does, what can a believer that is covered with the belts and the breastplate and the boots that picks up some faith, what can we do on a Thursday? On one hand, I'm reflecting and deflecting the arrows that are fiery, that are used to take me out. But in other times, I'm sending that faith out to do things in places that I am not. But guess what happens? Just like Captain America, when you send that faith out, it does something, but it comes right back to the one that sends it out. And I am here to tell you, don't cower in the corner with your faith. Don't sleep in the dark with your faith. You've been given faith to go out there and wage a war and win a war in Jesus' name. The shield of faith. Sometimes I'm defending, but sometimes I'm sending that faith out. Sometimes I'm sending that faith to places that I am not. Remember, faith can build and faith can destroy. Faith can loose and faith can bind. Faith can create a hedge of protection, but faith can dispatch 1,000 angels. It's a defensive and offensive weapon. It has capabilities in the defensive and offensive realm. Verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. One of the prayers I pray all the time is, God, protect my mind. Give me God thoughts. Give me divine ideas. One of the things we pray over our team every Monday in staff meeting and devotion is, God, give us divine kingdom strategies. Give us Holy Ghost creativity to do things, God, that you have called us to do. But the greatest thing that the helmet of salvation does is it protects your salvation. Meaning this, I'm never going back to who I used to be and how it used to be. I am saved. Never forget that you are signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit of God. It says the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God convicted me in these last couple minutes. God convicted me with the sword of the Spirit while I was building this series. And he said, the only offensive weapons I've given you is, he said, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. That means if it's not faithful and it's not spiritual, don't swing it. Check this out. Your opinion is not faith or sword. That was a good place to say amen. My philosophies, personal philosophies, my personal politics are not faith nor spirit. So they cannot defeat the enemy. But when he says, I've given you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the Bible says it is a two-edged sword, so it doesn't matter how I swing the sword of the Spirit, it is always going to defeat the enemy that I have against me. Can I tell you, the only word that works is the word that you know, not the word that is in the Bible. The only word that works is the word that you know, the word that you declare, the word that you quote. So doesn't it say over there somewhere, that's not good enough? Doesn't the Bible say cleanliness is next to godliness? No, it does not. We say the Bible says this, or it's in there somewhere, I believe. No, you better know what the Word of God says, because when you open that Word and you start reading it, what are you doing? You are taking weapons and you are putting them in your belt, because why? I know this week I'm going to have to swing the sword. I know this week I'm going to have to tear down the enemy. I'm going to have to defeat the adversary. I know there's a Goliath between me and destiny. I know there's giants between me and the promised land. So take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing the Word of God. I know we've got a lot of people in this building that were raised Catholic, a lot of new converts and believers. And I know that you grew up in Catholicism, and the priest didn't want you reading the Bible. I'm telling you, you need to read the Bible. You need to make sure that what I'm saying on a Wednesday night is God approved. You need to make sure that what I'm preaching, it is not contrary to the Word of God. You've got to get in that Word, because there's only so much I can give you in 25 minutes every day, getting that Word and not reading it so you can check a box, but reading it so that you learn how to use that weapon in a time of peace, so that when you are in the war, you are covered, but you know how to use the weapon. Standing on your feet. That's where most of these sermons end, is right there. Verse 17. But there is a weapon no one ever talks about in Ephesians 6. Verse 18, if they'll put it on the screen, I'm ending with this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Every sermon series I've ever heard ends with the sword of the Spirit. But God says there's one more weapon, and it's prayer. This is why Living Way is that church.